Let's get into the Word of God real fast. I want you to turn back in to Isaiah, and let's go back to 40. We're going to kind of begin. You know how I operate is I'll get started on something, and as you keep reading, it just gets better. Say amen to that. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Everybody there, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking, say, oh me, and I'll wait on you. Any old me's? Isaiah chapter 40. Now, not last week, since I was gone to Tennessee. And by the way, how about that trip? Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. Got to spend it with my family. And then as we were headed home, we get to the airport. Supposed to fly out at 12:40 or so, and all of a sudden it came on and said it will be 1:20 and then 1:40 and then 2 o'clock, and then there directly about, I'd say about 1 o'clock, it went ahead and said that it was canceled. And that was the only flight, and we're coming home, five of us, 11 bags that was already checked in, right? So we were smart because we're travelers, and Jamie got on her phone and got us a car rented. We get in line, it was long, but we get in line, it went pretty fast, and we get up there, and he says, you've got this kind of a car, and I said, hey, got anything bigger? And he goes, because we were friendly, and we wasn't mad, he gave us a better car with no charge. Now, we did drive 12 hours back to Bertram, Texas, and then we're praying that 11 bags would be in the United States. As y'all know. So we headed to Austin, and I dropped them off. Our car was still there, and I turned in the rent-a-car, and to the glory of God, 11 bags was at Austin. We gathered them up. Amen. So I wasn't here, but the week prior to that and the week prior to that, we began to talk in Isaiah chapter 40 about how you and I are supposed to live in these last days. And if you've been a Christian very long, you've probably heard about the last days. I've taken a step further, and I believe we're in the last of the last days. And it's my job as a pastor to not change anything. I still rodeo, and I still minister to steer ropers and rodeo cowboys. I still pastor a church, greatest church that I know of. Glad someone didn't say, I don't know about that. So it doesn't mean you change your living, but you look up because your redemption draws nigh. Or you keep looking up because the clouds could separate. Yeah, but there's no clouds. Yeah, but God could cause clouds in a snap. And they could separate and Jesus appear. With that horn of the voice of the archangel, you know, and the dead in Christ is going to go, and then all of us elect, the people that serve Jesus, that he's the Lord of their life, are going to be called up to meet him in the air, right? Okay, before that happens, though, you're going to see lots of things. You're going to, I mean, just turn on the news. You're going to see some wild things. Our country is very divided. One side of the country believes in lots of government control and no God, godless. Very crazy things that are happening. What was right is now wrong, and what's wrong is now right. Men don't know how to become a man, and a woman don't know how to be a woman. They're changing and then thinking it's right. Well, not the church, because the church is still going to preach the right thing. And we got to be bold enough to preach it out of love, because we're not against any person. You know why? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and against blood. We wrestle against what? that demon, that spirit of darkness, trying to convince people that it's okay for two men to marry. And we just have to tell people the truth. And that's not how God created us. He created us in two genders, a male and a female. Say amen to that, y'all. Because it's getting confusing, right? Okay, these things are going to take place. But you and I don't have to participate in any of these things. We just got to keep believing the Word of God. Not get into hate, not get into dislike and judgmentalness. No, no, we need to stay hooked with the Word of God. And again, because of persecution, it can get a little wild out there. But just keep believing. God will protect you. Remember this. The Bible says that the Lord, that your righteousness, doing what's right, goes before you. This is the Old Testament too. And the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. So God, if you live right, it's going to go before you. Even if someone makes up something about you, they're going to go, that cannot be true. I know how he lives. I know how she lives. Your righteousness goes before you. And then where the devil tries to attack you, the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. He'll protect you. All we got to do is just trust him. Amen? Okay, so we started talking about Isaiah 40, how a voice from the Lord, a voice who cries out, verse 3, says this, prepare in the way of the wilderness. And we all get this in the understanding of the children of Israel, right? How they were in the wilderness, in the desert, and they could have got on through it very fast. Some say in a few months they could have got through the miles that it took to get through it, but because of unbelief, murmuring, complaining, getting their eyes on the world and not on, you know, the trust in the Lord, they went around the wilderness, remember, 40 years. We all know those stories, right? Okay, so here it's saying prepare in the wilderness, because it's not that we won't go through trials and tribulations because we live in the world, a fallen world, right? Thank God for Jesus, y'all. That's why he died, so that we can be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and the word of our testimony. So we're going to go through some trials and tribulations. Key word, go through them. Be mature enough to get through them. Don't stay in them. Don't build a tent. Prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Clear away. Remember, number one, obstacles. Number two was make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for your God. I mean, don't run away from him when there's sin. Run to him. Number three, every valley shall be lifted. I mean, when you're going in a hole, he's saying, hey, I'll lift you out of that thing and filled up. Then number four was every mountain, having to climb that old mountain, and it's tiring. He says this, every mountain, verse 4, and hill shall be made low. And the crooked places, here's number 5, the crooked places and uneven shall be made straight and level, and rough places a plain. But let's keep reading, because that's all good news, right? I mean, because it seems like we're constantly hitting walls, constantly being attacked, etc. Going through crooked places, and God's wanting us to know that he's got your back if you just believe in him, right? And not we're not quitters as believers. It might get tough, but we're not quitters. We're going to stand on the promises of God, because he will take care of us. Lots of examples in the Bible of them coming just right to the place of giving up, and they stood. See, look at verse 5. Because of all of this that we just learned, it says this, and the glory, majesty, and splendor in the Amplified of the Lord shall be revealed. I want him to be revealed. Amen? I don't want to feel like he's thousands of miles up somewhere in a place called heaven where we can't get to him. No. The third of the Trinity is here. The Father's in heaven. The Son, Jesus, remember, we just took communion. He's been raised from the dead. He's seated at God's right hand, the Father. But what about the third, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost? He is here, y'all. So we don't have to yell up to God like he's so far away. No, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, he's here in the midst of us. So he's beside you. He's right here. That's a good thing to know, though, right? And he'll start revealing some things to us. Look what it says, in all flesh. How many of you know that's us, right? But that's not the real you. The real you is your spirit. The spirit is what gets born again. Remember, spirit, then you have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Then it lives in a body of flesh. Spirit, soul, and body, right? Okay, understand this. You are a spirit, has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, that lives in a fleshly body. So when it says flesh, look here. It says, and all flesh shall see it. See what? God's glory, his majesty, his splendor. All you got to do is get into position to see the glory and the splendor of your God. That's why you're at church, hopefully. So you can get built up so that the glory of the Lord is what you see. It's revealed to you all the time. Instead of seeing all the junk out there, you get to see the blessing of God. I bet you there's lots of testimonies in here of how God got you out of a bad place and you came in victory. I mean, he did me. Crohn's disease that they tried to diagnose me with that I didn't receive, and I was healed by the power of blood, of God. Took out 16 inches of intestines and a little bit of colon. Said I'd have to take medicine for the rest of my life, change everything that I did, quit riding horses. Remember all that? I've never taken one pill in 20 years. You know why? Because I said, I don't receive that. Wait a minute. This is a very educated doctor. He had been to school for 12, 13, 14 years. And here's a cowboy that's laying down, coming out of anesthesia, that has been at Big Spring, Texas Junior College for three. And now I'm saying, I don't receive that. No. Well, I decided to believe the Bible. Okay, look. So the flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So if God speaks it, praise God. Well, he spoke it because it's the word of God. If God spoke it in this book, then by golly, we got to believe it because it's breathed by God. It's inspired. Yeah, but a man wrote it. No, he didn't. No, God wrote it. A man had to pencil it together, but it was inspired by God Almighty. And you got to believe that. Amen? Okay. So let's move on. Verse 6. I'm reading now the Amplified because it says this. A voice says, cry. That's a prophecy. And I said, what shall I cry? The voice answered, proclaim. All flesh is as frail as grass, and all that makes it attractive, its kindness, its goodwill, its mercy from God, its glory, its comeliness, its however good, a transitory. It's like a flower of the field. The grass withers, though. This is talking about flesh, y'all see? And he's saying that, look, your flesh is like grass. It'll grow, it'll wither away. But see, that's not the real you. It goes on to say, it's mercy from God, its glory, its comeliness, it's however good, it's transitory, like a flower of the field. The grass withers, verse 7, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely all the people are like grass. Listen, though, the grass withers, the flower fades, but, I like this part, y'all, because it's getting us to not think that we're just a little blade of grass, not worthy of anything. Listen what it goes on to say. The grass may, your flesh might wither like grass. It might fade like a flower, but the Word of God stands forever. As a believer in Jesus, that's our only hope. It can't be on anything other than the Word of God. That's why before a few weeks ago, all us ministers were preaching about speak the Word of God. Be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer. We've got to believe in the Word of God. It's our only hope, y'all. Verse 9 now. O you who bring good news or good tidings to Zion. You know who Zion is? The church. It's us, okay? It says, here's what the good news is. Get up to the high mountain. O you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice. Y'all listen to me. That should be every single one of us. You don't have to be some preacher. All of us are supposed to be bringing good news to a lost world. That's why they're going to be coming to us when things go awry. When things go bad, here they come, y'all. And you better know what to tell them. And you know what to tell them? Tell them the Word of God. Tell them that they're the head, not the tail. Tell them that they're above their bad mistakes and all their junk and not underneath them. You tell them that you can do all things through Christ Jesus that will give you strength. You tell them that they're more than a conqueror because God loves them. Even though they've done bad stuff in the past, you tell them the Word. You know what the Word says? Forget the things that are behind and press forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about here, y'all. O you, verse 9 again, who bring good tidings to the church, Zion, get up on the high mountain and scream it. Amen. O you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice. Amen. With strength. Listen, it is not going to do anybody good for you to not have some boldness in these last days. Oh, please, Mr. Devil, pretty please, don't mess with me today. You know what that devil's saying? Oh, I got him. I got them. No, when you stand forth using the name that's above every name, don't do it in your own name. You'll fall. But when you do it in the name of Jesus, that's when you can say, mountain, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe those things which you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. All right, what are you going to say? Devil, get under my feet in Jesus' name. I take authority over you, devil. You get off my finances in Jesus' name. Devil, you get off of my body. I speak wholeness and wellness and health to my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I am healed by Jesus' strength. And I'm talking about that's when the pain is coming in some area. You've got a pain. Don't accept that. You start speaking to it. Pain, you leave in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, you've got to do it in Jesus, the name that's above every name. His name. See, people just go to church and they hear a pretty good old message. But man, we've got to know what to do when we're going through these things. And I'm sure people are going through some things right now. Well, you got to know how to get out of them. And here's how you do it. Speak at the top. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid, it says. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with might. Wow. Most people, you know why people don't get healed in some churches? Because they don't believe it. I mean, I grew up in some churches that didn't even believe in healing. Oh man, they would come against that tongues business. You know that tongue stuff, speaking in tongues, that's of the devil. And I never understood that. Till I got a hold of it in the Word of God. Yeah, no. When you pray in the Spirit, that's what tongues is, right? You need to study it. That's why you go to Bible study. You'll start learning these things. When you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says that no man understands it. Not even the devil, only God. Okay? Okay, so when we speak in English, Father, I need a new horse. I need to get my bills paid. My light bill's about to get turned off. Well, the devil hears that, and he can come against those things, but not when you pray in the Spirit, because he can't understand it, only God. So you're praying the right prayer to the Lord, okay? We don't have time to dig into that, but listen. Let's go on. Check it out. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with might, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock. Well, who's his flock? Say me. If you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're the flock. I may be the shepherd of this group, but we serve the shepherd. Amen. We're the sheep. We're the flock. That's what it's talking about here. Look, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. Man, he wanted to take care of you. In other words, he will carry them in his bosom and will gently lead those that have their young. Verse 12, we're coming to an end here. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, marked off the heavens with a 9-inch span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and in the hills and the hills in a balance. In other words, he's just saying, look, I got everything in control. But don't get me wrong, the Lord says, because you are in control. Everybody says, yeah, you know, God's in control. Well, not really. He is, but he's not. You know why? Because he gave us the control. We're the ones that are supposed to speak the word. We're supposed to live by faith, not by sight. We're the ones that are supposed to declare the word of the Lord. Not saying we're God. No, we're doing it in his name. That's why everything you do, you end a prayer in Jesus' name. I can't tell you how many rodeo announcers I've taught that to. Don't just say in his name. Say in Jesus' name, because that's where the power is. Not in the name of a church or a denomination. There's no power in that. There's power in the name that's above every name, Jesus. So that's where we get the power of God, Jesus. I'm telling you, I'll never forget driving down the road. I've told this story before, but it's just amazing. I had basically a brand new wife. We'd only been married maybe 2-3 years at the most. And London was born. She was in the back seat of our truck. We had a 4-horse trailer behind us, 4 horses in it. We were coming back from Albuquerque, New Mexico, from a big rodeo or roping. It's about 6 o'clock, sun's going down, and couldn't see. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord just said, hey, say Jesus. And so I did. Remember that, James? I said, Jesus. He said, say it again. Jesus. And when I was coming up over a hill, just where you couldn't see, there was an 18-wheeler trying to turn around in the road. And this is the road from that was going to level land, like from, you know, on one of the main roads and Littlefield to level land. And he was like stopped. Well, I have a wife, a brand new baby, 4 horses. My living quarters trailer was about, it had about a 15-foot short wall, so it's probably 40 plus feet. It was heavy. And here's an 18-wheeler in the road, and I couldn't see it. And all I did was continue to say Jesus. And I don't know how he got us out of that wreck. You see, there's power in that name, y'all. Amen. Listen to me. Here's where we'll start closing. Verse 13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him. Verse 14, with whom did he take counsel, that that instruction might be given him. That's all of us. We need instruction, y'all. Who taught him the path of justice, oh Jesus, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding. Four things right there that we see how God will protect us in these days. The first thing, remember, that he instructs us. Man, James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom, and he'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. There's times when we got to say, sir, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I need instruction, sir. And he's saying, I'll give it to you if you just ask. That's the first thing I see, is that instruction might be given him. Here's the second thing. Who teaches us the path of justice. Listen, when you give your life to Jesus, you're righteous. The Bible says you're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but I haven't done righteous stuff. It don't matter. You're still righteous. You need to start doing what's right, because God's saying here, he'll take you to the path of justice. He will take care of you no matter what. He's your judge, and he will cause you to have victory in Jesus' name. The third thing I saw here is that that he teaches us with knowledge. He wants to give us knowledge, but it's up to us to get into this Word of God, y'all, and not let it just grow dust on the coffee table. It's time that we get a hold of this thing, even if it's one scripture at a time. I'm not saying that you got to give your life to Jesus and move to Africa and eat beetles. I'm just saying, why don't we get into the Word of God one scripture at a time, so that we can get some knowledge of how we're supposed to live in these last days. And then the fourth thing, how he showed him the way to understanding. You remember the word that says, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. He wants you to stand, and he's giving you all the benefits, all the knowledge, all the rights, all the authority to live through him. All you've got to do is take it. Stop living by your past. Y'all know my story. The party was at my house in college. I was a fun guy. But that's the old me. This is the new me. I'm not looking at those things anymore. Now, my friends still remind me of it. That's not me, though. This is me. This is how we're supposed to live. This is good news, y'all. That's why in the former scriptures, he's saying, all of y'all that are saying the good news, shout it, scream it, lift up your voice. There's good news today, y'all. 2023 is going to be the greatest year of our life. If you would dare to believe it. If not, bad things are going to continue to happen in your life. So it's up to you to stop the cycle of the curse and start proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Come on, so smile. Smile. There's no reason to have a frown on your face when Jesus is the Lord of your life. Let's start looking up. There's good news. Even if you leave this earth in the flesh, you get to go to a place called heaven, where the Prince of Peace is, the joy of the Lord is. So why don't we get it here? It's already there. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just some good news finally. Good news, even in the midst of a bunch of chaotic bad news, trials and tribulations that we get tempted to stay in. So today, Father, we just learned, hopefully, that we're going to cry out to you. We're going to remove obstacles. We're going to keep our eyes on you. And we're going to shout to everyone that would hear us, good news, and not all doom and gloom. So, Father, thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, just real fast. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to receive him as Lord right now, if you would. I can't make you receive Jesus. I can only set it before you. That's what the Word says. God sets before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And he says it's up to you to choose life and blessing. Because the death and cursing are here too. Please don't choose that. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. I'll never forget someone coming to this church. They came up to me after the service and said, "This is my first time here. I've been to 20 churches in the Austin area, and this is the only one that gave a salvation plan. The only one that would lead people to Jesus at the end of it." I said, "Well, that's just how we believe." I mean, John's gospel said he's the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. And so I'm always going to give you an opportunity to receive him if you haven't received him. So if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord, think about that, Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to do that right now. And how we do it here at Cowboy Church is I have everybody in here pray the salvation prayer. It's Romans 10:9, y'all. We're going to confess Jesus with our mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead and we'll be saved. But believers are even going to pray it, because there might be someone in this place or watching us that has never given their lives to Jesus. In other words, you don't know where you would go if you died and left this earth, heaven or hell. The only way to choose heaven is receiving Jesus as Lord, the Son of God. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then he says this, whoever believes on him, the Son, would never perish. Instead, have everlasting life. That's heaven, y'all. That's heaven. I can't make you receive him. You got to do it yourself. So I'm going to pray a prayer. All the believers in here, I want you to pray it with us so that you're just praying it with someone around you that might be praying it for the first time. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're standing or sitting or where you're watching, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come in. What we're going to do is we're going to do it out loud, and we're going to believe what we pray. Amen? So if you've never given your life to him, ask Jesus to come into your heart by praying this prayer right after me. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you have been raised from the dead, and I'm saved. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Real fast, with no one looking up, real fast, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want you to do something for me. No one's looking around. I'm not going to ask you to get up, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to be bold enough, though, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I prayed that prayer, and I gave my life to Jesus, and I'm coming to heaven. That's what it means when you raise your hand. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to just raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness. Amen? At the count of three. One, two, three. Go. Just raise it up. Say, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Let me see it, and then just put it right back down. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. I didn't see any hands. And that's okay. Well, it's not okay, because we're not used to that here. We're used to seeing people saved. But, hey, sometimes as we see, we're getting a lot of them born again, I guess. But there's a lot out there that needs to hear the good news. Amen? Did y'all have a good time?